Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The drama of redemption began in Eden and ends with new heavens and a new earth. The enemies of Christ are vanquished, the rebellious are judged, and the redeemed find themselves on streets of gold in the New Jerusalem. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a four-part series on the drama of redemption. Join us now for a trip through the last half of the New Testament book of Revelation.
Chapter 12, what an interesting chapter. Satan pursues Israel. Satan has always hated Israel, the Jews. And the woman who gives birth to the child, and the child is obviously Jesus, is Israel, and Satan pursues it. Satan is cast out of heaven. You say, well, what in the world is he doing there? Well, the Bible says that he accuses the saints day and night. You look at the book of Job, where Satan comes and begins to talk to God about Job. There's that kind of dialogue taking place in the heavens. And Satan is so angry. It says that when he was thrown down to earth, he was so angry. I love it there in verse 12. He has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. I can hardly wait for Satan's time to be very, very short. Do we have any takers out there today? Chapter 13 is all about Antichrist. And it takes your breath away when you realize that God gives them authority. You'll notice it says in verse 7, he was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given to it, that is to the beast, over every tribe and people and language and nation. You think, oh my, Jesus has surrendered his authority. It's given to Antichrist. All who dwell upon the earth will worship him. Well, wait till you read the end of the book. And that's where you have the mark of the beast and so forth. In chapter 14, you have a vision of these 144,000. They have remained chaste. They were not involved in sexual immorality. That's the idea of the text throughout all this. And they get a brand new song. Listen to this. It says, verse 3, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. And this was a song that Tim cannot sing and not even Scott Griffin can play on the piano. I'm serious. It says no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So they get a special song. They belong to a special choir. The last part of the chapter is terrifying. I will not read it to you. I'll comment on that at the end of the message. Chapter 15 introduces now the bowls. And it says, you'll notice that the wrath of God is finished in 15 verse 1. And as I indicated, chapter 16 are now the seven judgments of the bowls. And these judgments also take your breath away. You'll notice that the Bible says that there is an earthquake, the likes of which has never yet happened upon the earth. We think Hades bad. This is going to be an earthquake throughout the whole earth, the Bible says. And it says in verse 21, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of hail because the plague was so severe. But you know what? The people do not repent. On and on, it goes on to say, even though they were gnawing their tongues in pain, they would not repent. Judgment usually hardens hearts. One time, my wife and I had someone at home who was doing some work for us, and of course I was witnessing to him, and he was basically an atheist, and he says, if there's a hell, let God send me there, and I'm going to spend all of eternity defying him. That has got to go down in history as the most stupid, foolish comment that I have ever heard. You are defying God forever, when all that you would need to do is to repent of your sin and acknowledge your need of a Savior, and be ready for heaven. And your defiance of God is going to add to his own justice and glory. It'll be to your hurt and no one else's, but the human heart is wicked. There are all kinds of passages that tell us that. That they even say, mountains and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. But they will not repent of their sins. Some do, many do not. Now, when we come to chapter 17, what can be said about this? There is a prostitute that is riding a beast. And you'll notice it says in verse 5, on her forehead, 17:5, was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and the earth's abominations. This is false religion, and she rides the beast who is Antichrist. And Antichrist uses her, but in the end, he hates her, throws her off, destroys her. What's going on there? Antichrist is going to use false religion. He's going to use false religion, but ultimately he's going to destroy all the religions, put himself up as God, and ask all people to worship him. That's why this probably relates to earlier in the sequence when Antichrist is gaining power at the beginning of the tribulation period. Chapter 18, read it and weep. This is now commercial Babylon. Some people think Babylon might be rebuilt. I don't know if that's true, but whether it is or not, whether this is symbolic, this is the end of commerce as we know it. When I read it, I think of New York City. I think of Wall Street. For example, chapter 18, it says in verse 11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore, cargoes of gold, and on it goes. And then it says in verse 15, the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand afar off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and pearls. For a single hour all of this wealth has been laid waste. That's what the judgments will do. It will end commerce as we know it. When you get a new car, and you are so concerned as to whether or not it's going to get a scratch, relax, relax. In the end, it'll totally be destroyed. And the person parking next to you only begins what's going to be an ultimate promise. Wow. No wonder Peter says, what manner of people ought we to be in all conversation and godliness, knowing that all these things are going to be destroyed. Now, chapter 19, 20, 21, and 22 are in sequence. You'll be glad to know we finally have a sequence. Chapter 19 opens with the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's where we will be if we are raptured, as many of us believe we will be, and we will be having the marriage supper of the Lamb. You all have to admit that there is no relationship with such ecstasy and joy as the marital relationship between a man and a woman in a good marriage. And God dares to use that as an example of our relationship with him. This is a time of breathtaking, breathtaking fellowship and beauty and purity. Jesus meeting with his saints. And then there is another description of the return of Christ. Throughout the book of Revelation, as I mentioned, because the chronology is not what we perhaps might wish it to have been, there are many descriptions of the return. But I suppose there is none like this one that includes us in the glorious return of Christ. Verse 11 of chapter 19. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This now is Jesus. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and has the name which is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. That's us, folks, if we've trusted Jesus. From his mouth, yes, we can clap after I'm finished. Let's do that, okay? From his mouth comes a sharp sword, with it to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written. Let's hear it now for him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the judgment is described. Chapter 20 talks about a period of peace for 1,000 years. You know, where do you get theologians get this idea of the millennium? If you take your chart and turn it on the other side, you'll notice that it says the church age, tribulation 7 years, millennium 1,000 years. Where did they pull that out? Well, in the Old Testament, this period of peace was predicted. In the New Testament here, in chapter 20, 6 times you have a reference to 1,000 years. And by the way, have you been scared to be beheaded for the faith? You'll notice it says, those who die in the tribulation who are beheaded, it says, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is verse 4. Everything is 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is bound during the 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, what you have is the final judgment. And now it is time for you to simply catch your breath. I hadn't planned on quoting it, but I'll see how I do. I beheld a great white throne and him that sat on it, before whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to what was in the books. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Wow. Well, my friend, I don't know what else to say. That is one of the most chilling passages of Scripture in all the Bible. And there it is for you and me to read, to grasp, to understand, to read it, and to weep. I hope that you are enjoying this very quick survey of the Bible. It's entitled The Drama of Redemption. Thanks so much for joining us today, and thank you for remembering us in your prayers and your sacrificial gifts. When running the race of life, isn't it wonderful when you have someone to come alongside of you to help you endure the race? Well, we're thankful for the thousands of people who give generously to help us share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do so with people around the world. Let me make it clear. Running to Win could not be here if it wasn't for your prayers and your financial support. I ask that you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly endurance partner, joining hands with us each month to share this outreach and to share the gospel with the world. For information on how to become an endurance partner, go to moodymedia.org and click on Endurance Partners.
Erwin Lutzer has brought part 3 of an exciting look at the book of Revelation. It's all part of wrapping up what he's calling the drama of redemption. Next time, we'll conclude this series, so plan to join us. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.